I'm going to start with a little bit of a warning. My talk this morning should involve some technology for a few minutes, and my experience is that when you really need technology to work, it doesn't. So it may not work. I'm just going to give you that warning now. So we're 2 days before Christmas Day, and we're going to hear and speak a lot about Jesus, and rightly so. Christmas is a time to celebrate the birth of Jesus and the joy and the hope that he brings. But today is about Mary. And what an incredible woman Mary was. She'd been told by an angel that she was going to give birth to God's son. Now that's a pretty major thing for a very young woman to hear. So then she has to tell her fiancé that she's pregnant and convince him that she is still a virgin and she's not been unfaithful and that this was actually a miraculous conception from God. I would quite like to have seen his face at that moment when she first told him. And also, unmarried pregnancy in those days would have been pretty shameful, so she also risked criticism of family, friends, community, people around her. Yet she accepted this call and she was excited. So she hurried to see Elizabeth. And Elizabeth shares her excitement. And Elizabeth knew a little bit about miracle babies. Elizabeth had not been able to have her own child. And then when she was too old, God blessed her with a baby. So she knew this was possible. And she also knew that this baby that Mary was carrying was no ordinary child. It works, but not yet. Thank you. No, we don't need it on yet. We don't need it on yet. I'll let you know when. Thank you. So the baby that Elizabeth was carrying also knew that this was no ordinary baby and leapt in her womb as soon as Mary greeted Elizabeth. And then as soon as this baby leapt, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So there was something quite big going on here. And Elizabeth wasn't just excited, she was honoured. She was honoured that Mary had come to her. Now this is significant because in those days, the place of honour would have fallen on the oldest person and definitely wouldn't have fallen on the unmarried pregnant woman. So in theory, Mary should have been the one to feel honoured in Elizabeth's presence. But Elizabeth knew the significance of what was going on here. And she could see the blessing that Mary and the child had been given. Mary's excitement continues through Luke with her song of triumph in verses 46 to 55, also known as the Magnificat. My soul glorifies the Lord. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. He has helped his servant Israel, just as he promised our ancestors. She was celebrating and filled with joy and with hope for what was to come. And she believed that God was going to fulfill his promises. They'd been living in really dark times. There was brutal persecution from Herod, and they'd already suffered hundreds of years of persecution already. And so Mary would have soaked herself in Psalms and Proverbs, holding on to the messages of hope, mercy, victory, fulfillment. God was coming to rescue them. And finally, this was going to happen through her child. But did Mary really know what was going to be involved? Did she have any idea of what was to come? Let's think about that for a moment. So did Mary really know the full extent to what was about to happen? She knew this baby was coming to save them. She knew that he would reign over Jacob's descendants and he would be called the Most High. But did she know what that was going to look like? Did she know that he would perform miraculous healings and would make the impossible happen? Did she know that hundreds and then thousands and then millions of people would follow him for thousands of years to come, and that he would bring restoration beyond imagination? Did she know that he would have such a profound effect on so many lives? And did she know that when he was 12 years old, her son would go missing for 3 days with no regard for her feelings? Did she know that he would be criticized by many religious and powerful leaders? Did she know that when she came to see him one time, he would actually refuse to see her? And did she know that when he got to his 30s, she would be in complete despair for 3 days when her son was brutally tortured and killed, maybe even feeling like, well, God's deceived her all along? And did she know that after those 3 days, her son would be raised from the dead and make a triumphant return, proving that God indeed had come to save them? Did she have any idea of the roller coaster of emotions that she would go through and just how incredible that the outcome would be? Now, with lots of things in scripture and theology, I do not have the answer to that. But had she known everything that was going to happen, would she have been so excited? Would she have accepted this call on her life? Or actually, would she have said, well, actually, I'd rather not, thanks? My suspicion is she didn't know everything. Because as you'll all know well, God is not in the habit of telling us exactly what's going to happen at every point for the rest of our lives. We don't know how it will feel, we don't know how easy or how hard it will be. And I think this is for two reasons. Firstly, if we knew all the great experiences that we were going to face in our lives, then actually we'd be living life for our own gratification and not for God. We'd be waiting for those great things to happen, and actually that would influence our experiences and our decisions. God could well wake me up tomorrow morning and tell me all the amazing things I'm going to live through over the next 10 years, how successful I'm going to be as a priest, how people will love me, fall over themselves to come and hear me preach, and people will be amazed at just how humble I am during all of this. Which would all be wonderful, but then I would spend the next 10 years waiting for those things to happen, and actually my decisions would be influenced by that. And I would be focusing on those things rather than focusing on what God wants me to do and kind of reveling in my popularity and how great that I'm going to be. Secondly, if we knew everything that was going to happen, including the struggles and the doubts and the obstacles, then actually maybe we wouldn't even do it at all. Or maybe we think, well, we could not possibly be capable of this, and God's just kind of made a mistake, really, in calling us. I remember the day I got accepted onto a one-year leadership training course, and Paul turned to me and said, you know what, you're going to be a vicar. And I laughed and I said, that is never going to happen. And there is no way I would never have imagined that I was going to be the right person for this, or that I could ever be capable of that. Had I have known that Paul was right, actually I don't think I'd have gone to college. I also know that had I have known how difficult it would be to get through the interview process, I don't think I would have ever embarked on it. If I'd have known when I started training how much of an alien I would feel, how out of my comfort zone I would be, I would have declined the bishop's request. And if I'd have known that actually people in the Church of England and in my own diocese some people will disapprove of my ordination and will not take communion from me because I'm a woman, I think I'd have run away really quickly. God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we're capable of. And looking back, I can see that through this process that I've been through, I've had experiences that I would never have imagined I would have with the most wonderful people. My faith and my relationship with God has strengthened, and I've learnt loads. And as much as I am scared, I am nervous, and I am anxious about my future, but I keep coming back to the fact that God has called me to be exactly where I am meant to be. And I even, every now and again, allow myself to get excited about it. None of us here know what's going to happen next week, next month, next year. We don't know what wonderful experiences or what difficulties we might face. We might not know what our call is yet. Or we may have a little suspicion, but we don't really believe that this possibly could be us, really. Or we may already know what our call is, but be a little bit too scared to accept. Or we may already have accepted that call, but now we're pretty much regretting it. One thing I do know for sure is that every single person here has a call from God. We have a purpose. We have a call that is exactly right for who we are. And it will mean that God uses the gifts that we've been given, and also those gifts that you may not even know you have yet. No one is left out. And it is such a good feeling when you finally realise that you are exactly where you're meant to be. And the other thing I know for sure is, whether or not we do accept God's call, we're going to struggle at some point in our lives. In the great words of Frank Sinatra, that's life. But wouldn't actually it be better for us to go through that struggles knowing that we're right where we're meant to be? When we accept the call from God, when we're doing exactly what he's made us to do, then the wonderful experiences that we encounter outweigh those struggles. And when we're going through difficult times, God is with us and he's holding us and he's giving us strength. Strength that we never even knew we had. What gave Mary faith to accept the promises in Scripture that God had given to Israel? So what gives us faith? Well, the promises in Scripture that God gives us, that he's with us, giving us strength, giving us peace, giving us rest. God is making our path straight. And above all, he only ever calls us to something that is good. Good for our lives, good for our family, good for our community, good for the world, good for his kingdom. Every single person here has a choice. Maybe Christmas this year can be about making the choice to accept God's call for us for 2019. With joy and with hope for the future, knowing that Christ is with us as we do that. Maybe our New Year's resolution can be to take time to allow God to tell us what his call is for us. Maybe we can remember Mary's excitement and take Mary's example, take the risk and say yes to God and be excited for what God has put onto us. So my prayer for all of you this Christmas is that you hear God's voice, that he makes his call known to you, that your hearts and minds are open, and that he gives you the excitement to accept whatever he has in store for you for the new year.